This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. My Forest Watch was launched back in 2017 and looks at Malaysia's natural heritage, our forests, and how non-state actors, that is, of course, the non-governmental organizations, civil societies, local communities, the private sector, and the public, and how all of these can inform and change policies towards better forest governance. And I find out more about this five-year project from Dr. Ham Gurung, who is the regional coordinator for the project, and Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail, the project advisor and president of the Malaysian Nature Society. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Yeah. Lovely to have
very
you both.
Very good day today.
Yes, it is a beautiful day. So before we get started on the My Forest Watch project, maybe both of you can tell me a little bit about the work that you do through your respective organizations. Maybe we can start with you, Dr. Ham.
Yeah, thank you, Juliet. The Forest Governance Project is funded by the European Union and led by BirdLife International. So we have seven partners all together in the project in the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, and Malaysia. So this is the support that came for the civil society organizations for better forest management and governance in each country. In each country, there are different models of forest governance. So we try to support the civil society, the NGOs, so that in the long run, they will be able to manage their resources and their forest, and they will have a more say in terms of managing the forest resources.
Okay. So that's the My Forest Watch project, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I know you're also part of, or you were part of BirdLife International,
right?
Am I correct? I mean, tell
yes.
me a little bit about the work that you did through
yes.
that.
Yes, BirdLife International is the largest nature conservation partnership organizations. We are basically local to global approach, where there are over 2.5 million members and supporters around the globe, over 115 countries. So we have our country programs, country partners. In each country, there will be one BirdLife partner. So in Malaysia, Malaysian Nature Society is our partner.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do in Malaysia, we work through our partners. And the partners know the best about the country. So yeah, globally, there are over 8,000 staff for
That's
the BirdLife partnership. And so we work through the NGOs, through the community-based organizations, and also different stakeholders, including government and private sector, what we call the business and biodiversity. So we work with with different actors. Globally, we have nine programs, and forest program is one of the nine programs where we have been working through this project funded by the European Union in four countries.
Okay, all right. And we're going to get into that a bit more after this. But Professor Ismail, I mean, you are no stranger. You know, you are the president of the Malaysian Nature Society, and I know you've been involved in environment work for a very long time now. I mean, tell me a little bit about what got you interested in all of this.
Well, MNS is 80 years by next year. We are the oldest nature-based society in Malaysia. We are maybe the highest number of members, and we have strong voice on nature. Our mission is very simple: protect, conserve, and manage nature. Nature is our heritage, and Malaysia is 12th top mega biodiversity in the world. So we cannot run away to protect and to conserve and manage our nature. This opportunity, working together with BirdLife, bring MNS to the international, and we share our views, our vision with international NGOs through BirdLife International. And this is where MNS becomes stronger, and our members are very huge range, from the professionals, scientists, and then the hobbies. So make MNS continuously active to protect nature conservation. So we advise the governments, you know, government working together and support our activities through two main things. Number one, education. Education is continuous. You cannot stop.
Yes.
We need to continue from the kindergarten that right to the high level of the policymakers. So far, very good. Kementerian Pendidikan Malaysia, KPM, very good support with us.
Wonderful.
And they are together with us. And then CATS, Kementerian Air Tanah dan Alam Sekitar, also support, including MESTEC also. And this is a major government ministries that supporting us. And then, of course, when government support, we are together with them, and the private sectors came, and the corporate sectors came, and they sponsors most of our activities to achieve our government mission. So we have a regular program, and all the big GLCs support us in education program. The second one is research. Research, what MNS focuses on expedition, a scientific expedition. We have succeeded two major things. Mm-hmm. Number one is Norom Pin, Taman Negara Norom Pin, and yes. Taman Negeri State Park, Belum Temenggu. So this is two major things that we achieve beside many community forests around Kuala Lumpur. Mm-hmm. Next, we are looking at Ulu Muda.
Now
we are going for Ulu Muda, and then next week we're going to have this weekend. We're going to have a seminar there for the first one. We're going to have again 2020 and 2021. So this is MNS contribution as a big scale to make sure that Malaysian natural heritage are well protected, conserved, and managed. Mm-hmm. So we are looking also or supporting the government in establishing CFS, Central Forest Spine.
Yeah. Yeah?
When government talking about conservation of tiger, elephant, seladang, and other things. So joint forest is very important. Because why? Forests are already fragmented.
Mm.
That's why this My Forest program is very in line with MNS vision. And we work together with BirdLife International and EU so that government mission well achieved and public support what government want to do. The major point is the stakeholders, and the grassroots. So when they understand, they support, and it's easy for the government to manage and achieve their mission.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, walk me through some of the objectives of My Forest Watch. We've spoken about, who are the people involved, but I mean, what is the main objective besides just getting the non-governmental organizations, non-state actors involved?
The main objective is basically building the capacities of the non-governmental organizations and community-based organizations. So basically focusing on people, like including Orang Asli, right? So we need to build their capacities so they will know in the long run about their role and responsibilities and also how they can manage forest in a such a way that they can get more benefits. So that's the important part is building the capacity of the non-state actors is the main objectives. So that in the long run, they can not just understand about the forest and the forest issues, but they will know what the government is doing, what the government plans are, what the existing rules, regulations, the law enforcement, and also their role and how they can engage at the policy level, supporting the government's work in forest management. So it is basically building the capacities, then sharing information, and also one of the important part of the project is transparency.
Right.
So that's very important and part of good forest governance.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, so they will generate and understand and get the information, and that can go through a wide range of networking, including private sector who are involved in forest, timber, business.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to work together. So eventually that will lead to a better policies. So you need a very good advocacy plan, policy, and science-based information in order to have a better plan and policies.
Mm-hmm.
Without that kind of information, that will be incomplete and maybe sometimes misleading. So we need to work right from the bottom, grassroots people, then eventually moving to the policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, bridging the gaps between the local people, their need, the forest conservation issues, problem, challenges, that can be addressed by the policy. So that like this, My Forest Project in Malaysia can be an example where the government will be informed where are the gaps, where things need to be improved, where are the good, best practices that are doing so that local people learn and they can visit and learn from each other. So it's basically building the capacity of the local people and non-governmental organizations are the main objectives of this project.
Yeah, that's what MNS is doing. Mm-hmm. I mentioned, number one, we do education. Number two, research, right, through expedition. Through education, we have nearly 500 KPA schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 500 teachers with us. And then regularly, we have, through a My Forest program, we call them for the capacity building, giving them our knowledge, telling them, we have a good policy. Malaysia have a very good policy and very integrated. But the problem now, we cannot apply our policy into application.
Right?
So now, one of the reasons is a public awareness, knowledge, and the capacity building. So the people who are not expert, they don't know what to do. So now, when we have through this program, as Dr. Ham said, we educate them. You know, we call the coordinator, we got state coordinator. You know, MNS have 14 branches.
Yes.
MNS have, every state have a KPA school coordinators. Mm-hmm. So we call them, sit together, and we have zone, northern zones, middle, east coast, and so on. Mm-hmm. It's in Borneo, Sabah, Sarawak. We call them, and then we give information about the how to manage the forest, why we need to manage the forest. Mm-hmm. So forest is habitat for wildlife, for source of biodiversity, for water, for many things. So they know, they understand, and you are local here. You know, teachers in the north, south, and you are local here, you know better about your state, you know better about your quality, like Ulu Muda. We do it at Ulu Muda. So people know, the teachers there, the old school, they know about the function of Ulu Muda. Then what do? They go back to school. At school, they have Club Pencinta Alam, the KPA. Yes. And then, if one school have 1,000 students, 1,000 will receive our mission. Our mission, right?
And the knowledge.
The knowledge, and the awareness, and practice. That's why when Dr. Ham said, Malaysia can be a model for the world. Because we have very good policy, politically stable, people know, but the application of it. Why poaching still continue? Why illegal harvesting of forest product still continue?
Yeah.
Because of public awareness, public knowledge.
A lack of it.
Yeah. So you see now, when I give you a simple example. When the minister talking about tiger conservation, right? Mm. And then the police came to join us. And you see very quick how many poachers were caught and then very aggressive action towards it. See, this is one example. If, for example, all the Pengulu or the local Kotor Kampung and so on, the head villages support this program, I cannot see any poachers anymore. So this is where our collaboration with BirdLife and EU and this Under My Forest project. So I hope the government will look at this seriously. This our project will end by 2021, right? So we have two more years to go. And then a lot of things that we can do through education and research, and then to bring Malaysia up to the higher level. MNS always support, because you know we are experienced for last
80 years.
We have thousands of members, active 3,000 members, non-active maybe 10,000, and the age from teenagers to 90 years old are active in MNS. So the range of members are very wide, and then the experience, the knowledge, you know, the most important is spirit. You know, they will go to the forest. Like, for example, Dr. Taha mentioned about orang asli. We train orang asli to understand about hornbills, and we call it Sahabat Enggang in Belum Temenggu. Yeah. Belum Temenggu is the place where we get only place in the world 10 species of hornbills. There's no other place. How many tourists we can bring in? We used to manage 20 over countries come just to see the 10 species of hornbills. Of course, you cannot see 10. They can see 5. Next time, they will come again. They will come again. These bird lovers are crazy. Crazy for nature. Crazy to save nature. Crazy to say more about nature.
Dr. Ham, I think he's talking about you there.
So this is where are important. You know, that's why MNS members is very strong in this. We train orang asli to identify the birds, to identify the nest, to understand the cycle. And through their experience in the forest, they can help us, giving their knowledge about the fruiting season, about that. And then we, scientists, we reinterpret it, make it as a stable ecology. And now, the government, Ministry of Tourism, through Tourism Malaysia, adopt this. And one Visit Malaysia 2020, birds, festival, birders activities are one of the target. You know, we have thousands of members in the world, of course. BirdLife member also a million. So you imagine the tourists will come through nature conservation like Ulu Muda, Taman Negara and so on. But in the country, our country, we have to systemize it. We make it better and we train people. We need people to understand, respect nature and so on. So this is very important. So I believe if the public support this program and the media play roles in besides this activity, I think the whole Malaysia will understand this, and together with MNS and maybe more members for MNS.
Hopefully. I mean, I think that's the point of this, right? I'm speaking today to Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail. He's a project advisor from My Forest Watch, and he's the president of the Malaysian Nature Society. And also to Dr. Ham Gurung. He's the project's regional coordinator. And we're discussing what My Forest Watch is all about, you know, and how it is aiming to promote responsible environmental stewardship. And we'll continue that discussion after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today are Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail. He's the president of the Malaysian Nature Society and the project advisor for My Forest Watch, and also Dr. Ham Gurung. He's the project regional coordinator, that is, of course, for My Forest Watch. And we're finding out all about My Forest Watch, you know, and how it is aiming to promote responsible environmental stewardship. So we were talking about, you know, how important education is, of course, and getting all these different actors involved, these different non-state actors involved. But how empowered are the people so far that you've been dealing with? I mean, you know, like, for example, you mentioned the Orang Asli communities. I think they do have the knowledge, but perhaps they don't feel empowered enough to speak up in maybe the political sphere, for example, especially, you know, when we see cases of deforestation or land conversion from, you know, forest to plantations, you know, and when they do try and fight for their rights, there is, of course, issues of them being completely disregarded, you know. So I assume that part of My Forest Watch is also to make sure that they are empowered to speak up for their land rights. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Yeah. So in this forest governance project regionally, what we call the three C's of forest. So one C is basically in community-based forest monitoring, mm-hmm. which is basically we want to see the forest coverage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For example, if there's a deforestation, means the forest will be shrinking, right? Mm-hmm. So the forest coverage is very important. So the local people on the ground are engaged in monitoring their forest, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's any logging, or is it legal or illegal, or forest fire, or cultivation for agriculture, or rubber plantation, or poaching, you know, wildlife trade, anti-poaching.
Yeah.
So anything that is happening around their places, so they monitor and they track. Mm. So they even use smartphones and take picture.
Interesting.
Right? So the capacity building, the training is a very long-term process. So where they can do the job on the ground, at the same time, they learn things which they have never learned before.
Okay.
Right. So there's a very important and long-term process of building their capacities. Mm-hmm. Right. So second C is about the forest condition, what we call the health of the forest. For example, the Royal Belum State Park, which, you know, Prof. Ismail has mentioned, you can see 10 species of hornbills.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hornbills capital of the world. So that is one indicator of the forest condition. The health of forest is good. So that's why the forest is good means there's plenty of fruits or food for the hornbills. Otherwise, they go, you know, different places in search of food.
Mm-hmm.
So the forest is good means, so the indicator means the birds are there. You know, 10 species, you know, yeah. of birds finding a particular state park, the, you know, forest complex is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the forest condition. The third C is we also see the carbon stock. Let's go about, like, you know, science, you know, because the tropical rainforests are very rich in biodiversity. They are like a big, huge supermarkets. Mm-hmm. When you visit there, you can buy everything as long as you have money, right? So when you enter the tropical rainforest, so they are rich in biodiversity, wildlife, insects, you know, tree species. So they are very powerhouse in, you know, storing the carbon stock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's very important that communities are engaged in learning about the three C's of forest.
Mm-hmm.
We also blend with science. We have a science team working and, you know, looking through the remote sensing and GIS. From satellite.
Yes.
So you can track, you can see what is going on from the satellite about the forest loss. So particularly, very important that the communities also can verify,
mm-hmm.
you know. For example, you know, if there is any deforestation, that can see in the picture, in the satellite image, maybe red. So our people on the ground can go and see what is actually there.
Yeah.
Right, so they can verify, so make sure the data is correct. So they are engaged in a wide variety of, you know, forest monitoring, forest related, forest conservation issues, so which is, you know, very important. We also respect, highly respect the Orang Asli and their indigenous knowledge and skills.
Definitely.
They know many of the good things which people never, you know, have, you know, experienced before. So always try to understand how they are managing their forest resources, how they are managing their environment, their water catchments, so and so on. So it's very important to record their experiences, the indigenous knowledge and skills, so that in the long run, that can be also replicated as part of information sharing and learning from each other, from one community to another community. In the year 3-4 of our project, we have a regional, like, cross-learning visit, sharing information, because that is very important, you know, part of, you know, capacity building. You know, otherwise, people are just, you know, working in a more isolated area, isolated places, and they don't know what's happening in other parts of the, you know, country or the region.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to bring people together so that they can see, they can learn, and from each other, and that it will be a good foundation in building their capacity in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about voice.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most important. Actually, if you look at MNS activities, every month we have celebration. January, we talk about energy. February, we talk about wetland. March, we talk about Earth Day, Forest Day, and so on, right? Every month, we have activities to create the voice of public.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, we have 500 schools.
Yes.
So 500 schools, 1.5 million, the student, 1,000 students, 1,000 mother and father at least, times 500, you got 1.5 million in Malaysia, will say something.
Mm-hmm.
Either say to the teacher, hey teacher, we need to save tapir. Talk to the headmasters or the teachers of KPAs, say something during assembly every month,
yes.
First week of every month.
Yeah.
And this idea will pick up by the politician.
Mm.
Because my idea already went to the parliament and voiced out in the parliament. So meaning that 222 members of parliament cannot miss this word. Every parliamentary must, together with MNS, speak on nature and conservation. There's voice.
Mm.
In order to speak, they must have knowledge. That's why we do education.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ham said about telling about nature to the local, right?
Yeah.
And the worst, we cannot say they are not good, but the worst level in the forest there, because we are in the city, far from the forest.
Yeah.
Orang Asli. Living in the forest, nobody pick up their experience, their thinking, you know, their understanding, their belief on nature.
Mm.
So the scientists should go there. In the national program, they call it citizen science,
yes.
Meaning public have to understand about science. So we don't want to talk in the city alone. We go to the rural area, we go to the forest together with Orang Asli.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what MNS is doing. So through capacity building, not only limited to the high educated people,
mm-hmm.
but we go down to the forest. In MNS, we have the members from high rank to the lowest rank, meaning in the level of structure, existing structure now.
Mm-hmm.
But these all have one mission, to protect, conserve, and manage nature. Who going to manage nature in the forest?
Mm.
Well, we are working here in the factory.
Yeah.
We have time to go there. So we give knowledge, gather the Orang Asli, help us in managing forests. So, like the Tam said, when they know the fruiting season, when, because they are depending on that also.
Exactly.
And likewise. Then they will tell us. And then we correlate with birds, with other animals. You see? So this is the thing. Another example that we always discuss now, why we transfer elephant, for example, if we transfer elephant from Ulu Muda to Taman Negara.
Mm-hmm.
So Kedah lost their asset. This elephant can be something. Attraction for tourists, for example.
Right.
Managing their forest. But we must understand, the conflict between human and elephant cannot be solved by transporting or transfer the animal. We have to manage the animal in their habitats.
Mm-hmm.
So how? We have to educate. Bring the expert in. We MNS have networking through BirdLife. We have international networking. I know people are very good in Africa. They are European, they are American, they are doing study there. Managing forests, whatever wildlife in Africa. We can adapt their fundamental knowledge here in Malaysia, even though different forests. But we local know about our forests. We try to merge the knowledge, how to manage our forests. So this is a capacity building, public voices, and of course media, the strongest voice, can play roles. Otherwise, we just, as what always say, scientists work, put in their publication and keep in the drawer. No, we have to bring this finding, knowledge, theory into practice in the wild.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, have you seen, do you have success stories or case studies, you know, that are, you know, making you feel very encouraged and, you know, keeping you doing what you're doing?
I can see two examples, one from Malaysia and one from the from Papua New Guinea. In Malaysia, it was really encouraging that the Sarawak Forestry Corporation, they have engaged the NGOs, you know, mostly Malaysian Nature Society members, first time in the history of, you know, training the what they call the honorary wildlife rangers training. First time, I think, in 30 years, they have brought the NGOs in terms of like 3 days full intensive training. Then after the assessment, the exams, so they are appointed by the minister as honorary, you know, wildlife rangers, and they have the legal mandate to enforce when someone is doing illegal thing in the forest, so they can catch and report. So that's in the long run, that is a very important, the legal empowerment of the community to express and their voice and support the government. That's a very good example. Otherwise, you know, usually government super far away, you know, people are talking about never been heard. So there's always not much, cooperation and communication. But this is a very good example recognized by the Sarawak government, you know, NGO members to becoming honorary wildlife rangers can be a member for the enforcement team of the government. That is one very good example. Second example in Papua New Guinea, where in the what we call the Torrensilly Mountain Range. In Papua New Guinea, 93% of the forests are owned by the local people, local communities. So the local people, with the support from the government, they are going to declare as a new conservation area, protected area, so that legally that, you know, mountain range will be protected. So we also work with other, you know, partners. Like, so our partner in the Tenkele Conservation Alliance in Papua New Guinea, also, you know, partner with the UNDP, United Nations Development Programme. So working with EU, with BirdLife, working together in terms of, you know, to designate the area, a conservation area, which is legally protected. Otherwise, there are lots of encroachment, lots of pressure from outside, particularly illegal logging, right? So that's one good example of ensuring the forest areas becoming a permanent protected forest,
right,
conservation area.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, something like in Ulu Muda, is right? We're fighting for that, aren't we?
Yeah, Ulu Muda, we are fighting for that. Mm-hmm. And then Belum Temenggo, Temenggo area. And then one thing about this protected area, I think government is about time to review. Because, for example, we MNS, we are assessing important bird area now. We have 55 important bird area in Malaysia. We are assessing all areas and we are ranking them. Are they suitable to be IBA, important bird area? Or what to do to protect the area?
Right.
So government have to recognize this. And one important thing is a border. We have to put a clear border of protected area, protected forest, for example, reserve forest. Nobody can go in. If you go in, you got penalty, for example, right? We have to educate people. And then environmental sensitive area, especially environmental sensitive area class one, where the water catchment are. So the border need to be well studied so that they understand about the water, they understand about other function of the protected area.
Yeah.
You see, at the moment, maybe the border they are having now is not suitable for ESA, environmental sensitive area, class one. So this is very important. Government have to look at immediately with the issue of climate change, illegal logging, the enforcement is not right. Not to say they are not doing their job, but they don't have enough power, for example. They don't have enough money, for example, to go there. That's why we do the on the ground, MNS, through this activity, this project My Forest, we go on the ground so that the local will stand up to say something, helping the government. Mm-hmm. So we cannot say this is against the government project, but this is a fully support the government project.
Mm-hmm.
So government has to be together with us, and then protected area must be well, well bordered, well explained to the public.
Mm-hmm. And again, I guess the important thing is that we cannot. I think many Malaysians, they assume or they look to the governing authorities, you know, as the final say, you know, as the country's resources. Yeah,
that's good. It's indication of the awareness there and understanding.
But I mean, you know, it has failed as well, and so that's why this whole project is important, isn't it? To get everybody
exactly,
involved.
Yes.
It's not
correct.
Just Okay. All right. And I know the project is a 5-year project, but I mean, what's going to happen after that? And your guys, I suppose, are now midway, I would say, right?
Yes.
And I mean, what's going to happen in the next couple of years or so? And, you know, what happens after?
Okay. So what we call basically the sustainability of the project, what will happen after 5 years?
Yeah.
The 5 years will be, you know, bringing all the knowledge, skills, expertise through capacity building, training and so on. So first thing, all our, you know, the BirdLife partners like Malaysia, Indonesia, you know, Philippines, and also in the, you know, Papua New Guinea, the partners have a, you know, long-term conservation strategy.
Okay.
So that this, the way that the all the good things that we learn, and you know, and also the anything that need to be improved, so that can be mainstream and already happening in their conservation strategy. So for example, Malaysian Nature Society has a 2018-2030 strategy, which this project also supported. So all these forest climate change issues have been already integrated in the, you know, MNS management plan and conservation strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So once it is there, so it is their vision, it is linked with their goals, with their, you know, mission and activities. So that will be carried over. So through, by institutionalizing the whole, you know, the concept, the lesson learned through their plans and programs.
Mm-hmm.
So that will ensure the long-term implementation of the project, because the forest conservation is not just for today and tomorrow, has to be all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So need to have a clear plan, policies, and integrate and mainstream their plans and program so that they have already like put how much money, resources
sure.
Needed.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the, you know, main important things when you prioritize the conservation, you know, activities? So that has been already integrated in the conservation strategy. Second thing also, because we work so closely with the government, it also makes sure it has been reflected mainstream in the policies.
Of course.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most important and fundamental thing. Because ultimately, as you said, the government has the power, they have the authority, they have the legal say. So if, you know, it is integrated within the government's plans and programs, so it will ensure to happen even after the end of the project.
Mm-hmm.
So that is at the policy level. So second is at the organization, the NGO, our partners level, who have the, you know, mandate. For example, 80 years, you know, Malaysian Nature Society will be 80 next year and will be 100 years after, you know, 21 years. So that will carry on.
Sure.
So
forever.
We always,
it's
yeah,
forever.
So we always make sure all the, you know, the good things we have learned from the project are integrated and mainstream. So that's how we have been working. And the final thing is, okay, the community, local people, the local communities, the training. So the whole idea is how to catch the fish rather than people, you know, giving them to eat the fish.
Right.
So how to catch the fish is very important. Once they have the skills, you know, knowledge, all the you know, required skills and knowledge, they can implement and they can make sure to protect their forest, to look after their environment, which, you know, I call, you say, the earth matters.
Mm-hmm.
So the people matters to protect the environment. So that is a long-term, you know, investment for sustainability of the project. So the training part is very important. We know the time will pass on. There will be new challenges, new issues, new training skills. And that once the, like Malaysian Nature Society has already reflected in their conservation strategy that they will carry on the forest program, so that will ensure the long-term, you know, implementation of the forest governance project.
Yeah, we have this continuous program for the community. I mentioned just now about Sahabat Enggang, Hornbill's friends. So this Sahabat Enggang, they will focus on Ulu Muda. We have Sahabat Bakau, mangrove friends of mangrove. They are in Kolongula somewhere there in Penang. You know, they protect the mangrove area. We have Sahabat Beruang Matahari, the sun bears, right? Yeah. So everywhere, there are 5 places in Sabah also, in Sarawak. So they are focusing on that. And then we have, we cannot say Sahabat Harimau. We say Raja Rimba. Uh-huh. So they is focused on tiger in Marapo there. So we have this team who are going to support the grassroots level. Mm. So this makes sure the sustainability of the program. So this involves the community, the schools, local schools, and teachers and so on. It will go sustainability. Imagine these people will spend their own time after they go to the rubber tapping in the morning. After that, in the afternoon, they spend time for planting trees for the habitat or where the path so that tiger or wildlife can go to another place. Because that highway break or separate two parts of forest.
Right, so building like wildlife corridors.
Yeah, yes. So we have to have a wildlife corridor. So this is the support from the local. Mm-hmm. So this is where we need public to know, not for publicity, but to support the sacrifice that showed by the local community. This will continue. Mm-hmm. This will continue. So this is where MNS by BirdLife and other foreign agencies, we are continuously planned for forest or nature protection, conservation and management.
Okay. All right. It sounds so wonderful, you know, and there's so much hope in this project. You know, it's very encouraging because we've been just getting a lot of bad news all the time. You know, climate change is upon us. So this is something very exciting. And especially since you're involving communities, starting right from the kindergarteners, you know, I always say that we need to get them young. Otherwise, you know, our future is going to be very bleak.
Yeah. So you mean people from Kuala Lumpur also? Go there together with the local.
Yes.
You know, from Petaling Jaya. So mm-hmm. this is what our members are.
Yeah.
You know, they are very committed. And then they went to the Ulu Belum for
bird watching.
For counting hornbills.
Yes.
You know the leeches?
Yes.
You don't know uncertainties there? The tiger and so on. But they still go there.
Sure.
So they believe in what MNS mission or vision so that our wildlife and habitat are well protected.
Yeah, because like you said, you know, we're so disconnected, you know, sitting here in our little offices. We're so disconnected with what's happening there. But everything that happens in the forest will one day come to affect us. Food security, water security, loss of biodiversity. But, you know, if anyone's listening and they would like to get in touch or they would like to get involved with this project, is there a way that they can do that?
Oh, very easy. www.mns.my.
Excellent.
Just remember, www.mns.my, become a member first. Mm-hmm. Then, when you become a member, we always send you monthly activities, or you can follow our website so that they can follow our activities. We have all over the countries. We have all over countries. Or you can straight away look at My Forest Watch, myforestwatch.com.my. So this is how MNS are contributing. But easy, go to MNS, www.mns.my. In there is linked to this website.
Okay.
So don't, you know, our brain so many things to think.
Yes. Just, MNS, simple enough.
MNS. Yes. All the way. This is what MNS should do. Join MNS easy.
Okay. All right. Any last message you'd like to leave us with, Dr. Ham?
Yeah, I think, thank you so much. Earth Matters. It's very important that we spread the message, you know, good message, the good job that have been done by the local people, so that people can hear and listen and they can support, you know, forest conservation. Mm-hmm. So it is a long-term journey. So, you know, forest conservation, our life is, you know, depend on forest. Because if there's no forest, there will be no water set, there will be no water catchment, there will be no drinking water. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lungs, you know, we don't have a fresh air to breathe. So what we call generally ecosystem services, anything that we get, you know, free from nature, we taken for granted.
Definitely.
Until we get, until we suffer, we really judge and value the value of water. So, you know, it's very important. I was in Australia in September. 1 liter of water cost $9.
Yes, because it's water.
In five-star hotel, right? So like maybe 3 ringgit, you know? To really, you know, 100 in a ringgit, 1 bottle of water. So if you don't protect the forest, there will be no water, you know. And that is, you know, without water, we can survive. Without fresh air, we can survive. Even if people survive, people won't be very healthy. Yeah. So we have to protect the forest so that the local people will be healthy, the citizens will be healthy. That means it's a win-win for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Any last message you'd like to leave us with, Prof?
Yeah, certainly. I want to tell everybody, next year we're going to celebrate 80th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. Just join and follow us, MNS. All what we discussed today is covered under that umbrella.
Sure.
So MNS is leading in nature conservation, mm-hmm. protection and management.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Hum Gurung. He's the Project Regional Coordinator for My Forest Watch, and Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail. He's the project's advisor. And he's also the president of the Malaysian Nature Society. And we were discussing My Forest Watch and how it's helping to promote sustainable and responsible environmental stewardship. If you miss any part of this show or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.